Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Hour 2. We'll be taking some phone calls pretty soon, I promise. 844-967-2789. I see you there, Fancy Gary with two R's. From Glenview, you'll be the first caller if you're patient. And if you'd like to get in the queue behind Gary, once again, 844-96-PARTY. He's political party up here, man. It's Friday.
He's fancy like Gary Shandling and Gary Marshall, so he might be a star secretly.
Oh, but you're the fanciest of all, Brian.
Because I use a Y.
Fancy Brian. A little bit more coverage on the Roger Stone. I think this is important in light of the fact just earlier this week we saw the federal filing in a California court by the January 6th committee against Eastman. Let's not forget the Eastman details in the Roger Stone documentary. But I've got a little commentary piece I'd like to start the hour here. The J6 committee, and I think I'm going to start calling them that. The January 6th, call them the J6 committee.
I like that a lot better.
Says Trump did some criming, and a newly emerged video suggests Roger Stone knew it. Oh, yeah. We learned this week the J6 committee is investigating former President Donald Trump and his advisor, John Eastman, for the same offense many foot soldiers of the insurrection are charged with. The committee suspects Trump and Eastman obstructed an official proceeding, a felony punishable by up to 20 years in prison. So many J6 insurgents are charged with this crime that BuzzFeed ran a trend piece on the phenomenon. Some insurgents already pled guilty, and others failed in their attempts to get their charges thrown out. A charge of disrupting an official proceeding would be a straightforward way to bridge the gap between the shock troops at the U.S. Capitol and the orchestrators of the insurrection. If ordinary goons are guilty of disrupting an official proceeding by rushing the seat of government, then arguably the ringleaders who incited them to do so are guilty as well. Guilty, guilty, guilty. This charge might also fit the procedural coup into the framework of criminal law. The J6 committee's blueprint for criminal prosecutions comes as new details have emerged about the culpability of Roger Stone, the architect of Trump's Stop the Steal movement. However, we're still a long way from seeing any of these guys stand trial. Now, the Washington Post, we've talked a lot about that coverage, reviewed documentary footage of Stone by a Danish filmmaking crew made while he watched the insurrection unfold on the television in a Washington hotel. According to the Post, on the day of the attack, as he packed his bags, Stone told the filmmakers the riot was a mistake. It would be really bad for the pro-Trump movement. Here's more from the opinion piece. Seemingly unaware of the crimes he and his goons were committing, Stone lobbied for Trump to enact the Stone Plan, a blanket. Seemingly aware of the crimes. If I didn't make that clear, let me do it right there. Seemingly aware of the crimes. Sort of a lot of admissions of culpability and guilt there. Like what he said, we're going to prison. It's like he was aware there's some criminality, some crime going on. Seemingly aware of the crimes he and his goons were committing, Stone lobbied for Trump to enact the Stone Plan, a blanket presidential pardon to shield himself, Trump's allies in Congress, and the America First movement from prosecution for the insurrection. Trump did pardon Stone. I thought he commuted Stone, but technically he pardoned Stone. The rest of the J6 insurgents were not so lucky. The January 6th committee tipped its hand in a brief filed in federal court in California on Wednesday. This is a civil case where the select committee is asking a judge to review the 11,000 documents Eastman is withholding in the name of attorney-client privilege. These documents can be expected to deepen the committee's understanding of the well-established Trump-Eastman plot to disrupt the certification of the 2020 election by enlisting Mike Pence to abort the ceremony on legally specious grounds in order to send the vote back to the states on equally flimsy pretext. Eastman is a lawyer, at least for now, but it's not clear he was acting as Trump's attorney when he schemed with the former president. In any case, attorney-client privilege doesn't apply to advising clients how to commit crimes, let alone chatter about crimes a client and a lawyer do together. For the J6 committee's lawyers listed all the crimes they have good reason to think Trump and Eastman teamed up for. The committee doesn't have to prove Eastman and Trump are guilty. So far, it's just asking the judge to look over Eastman's supposedly privileged trove of documents to see if they contain any evidence of these alleged crimes. If so, the argument goes, those documents aren't really privileged and Eastman must hand them over. To prove Eastman and Trump committed the crimes they are alleged to have committed, a hypothetical prosecutor would have to show they knew they were breaking the law, possibly also that they knew claims of massive election fraud, the ones that formed the pretext for the procedural coup, were false. If Pence had aborted certification on their orders, it would certainly have interrupted an official proceeding. But did Trump and Eastman know they were committing a crime when they badgered Pence to do so, as opposed to pursuing a dubious legal political strategy? The ignoble fiction running through this whole saga is that Eastman was simply giving Trump advice on how to legally send the election back to the states. In this case, the line between crankery and criminality would be blurry. However, in one of his infamous memos, Eastman acknowledges that his plan is legally questionable at best. He falsely asserts that because Joe Biden stole the election, Team Trump is entitled to ignore Queensbury rules. An example, the rules against fighting dirty. The fact that Eastman invoked the Fifth Amendment 146 times in his testimony to the J6 committee means the former law professor believes discussing his actions in this case would incriminate him. The brief makes a compelling argument that Trump knew or should have known that his false or massive election fraud were false. After all, he was informed by everyone from his campaign data analyst to his senior appointees at the Department of Justice and the Department of Homeland Security to state-level elections investigators. Everyone said he lost fair and square. Now, the J6 committee has no authority to charge anyone with a crime on its own. But depending on what their investigation reveals, you mean what more it reveals? The committee may ultimately make a criminal referral to the DOJ. I think they're going to be forced to. They're going to force Merrick Garland's hand. When you lay out all the evidence and the crimes, it's pretty hard for the DOJ to ignore. Here's the conclusion. It can't force it to open a criminal investigation of Trump or anyone else. But such a referral would put significant pressure on U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland to launch a criminal probe. I think the probe has begun. Now, whether or not they are to the point where they're actually seeking the top of the pyramid, talking about the Department of Justice, seems like they're working slowly up. Too slowly, to my opinion.
I'm told that justice turns slowly.
The arc of justice... I think MLK said.
It doesn't matter. Feel better about it. You're going to wait a long time, but it's going to happen eventually. That's what it means. Let's move on.
I'll have that to look forward to somewhere between here and infinity. 844-967-2789. Fancy Gary from Glenview. How you doing, man?
I'm great. Great. How are you guys?
Hanging in there for a Friday afternoon, Gary.
Well, I love this show. Last night I was reading in the Wall Street Journal about attorney, Bill Barr, when he had to go tell Trump that, you know, that everything that he was predicting, you know, all the corruption, everything was not true. And it's a great read it because I guess Barr just came out with a book this week or last week. And Trump threw a history.
Sure. But that's Bill Barr's version of history. And, you know, history is written by the winners, right? But Bill Barr is trying to write a revisionist form of history. And I don't think, Gary, I'm not trying to imply he's trying to protect Trump. He's trying to cover his own ass. He's trying to claim, I pushed back on the outrage.
Absolutely.
Well, why didn't he push back in real time when he was the Attorney General of the United States? Why didn't he make his displeasure with the president's ask more public? Of course we know the reason.
He was there to cover the corruption, Gary. Oh, exactly. And then getting back to today's show, you know, what I want to hear debated is, and these are very important things on January 6th, is the fact that who came up with the idea that Vice President Pence by himself could overturn the election results, and if he did not overturn the election results, he would be hung.
Well, I think Trump threw in the hang Mike Pence part, Gary, if I understood the timelines correctly. But the rest of it, there were effectively two lawyers. There was Jeff Clark at the Department of Justice, and there was John Eastman, who was some sort of environmental lawyer that was trying to sort of leap the line and make himself the Attorney General of the United States, unless the acting Attorney General, Rosen, would go along with the coup plan. And there was also this matter of stop the steal. Apparently, the actual term stop the steal originated with Roger Stone at the RNC convention way back in 16. But stop the steal effectively for Stone was a grift. It was a way to raise money. For the rest, I think they were far more sincere. I mean, Stone just wanted a pardon, get out of jail free card. He got at least one, Gary. He's still mad. He's still looking for a blanket pardon for all his friends. Come back, more Devils.
Crazy. Don't go crazy, you know.
I tell you, I gotta plead ignorance on this thing, because if anyone had said anything to me at all when I first started here, that sort of thing was frowned upon.
Did you see the memo about this?
Well, history's written by the winner, so it largely depends on who's writing the history.